today. All right, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So we're going to back up and look at that 11th verse again. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We started this new series, Christmas series, last week called The Colors of Christmas. Colors are an important part of the Christmas tradition. We have a lot of Christmas traditions, right? A lot of traditions that go along with this season. We have special music that goes with the season. We have different Christmas foods that are traditional for this time of year. We have Christmas movies, right? Some of you cannot make it through the Christmas season without watching Elf. I get it, okay? And different Christmas gatherings, all kinds of traditions. Now, a lot of our Christmas traditions are uniquely Christian. Some Christmas traditions, however, are actually found in pagan traditions, and they were adapted and adopted into Christian Christmas tradition. Some of our Christmas traditions are cultural, and I know for most of us in this room, that would be American, so there's a lot of American Christian culture in our Christian celebrations. However, we have people from all over the world, so we have a lot of Mexicans in our church that have unique cultural Christmas traditions that are unique to Mexico. Let's hear it for all the Mexicans, all right? Woo, woo. Yeah. And we have some people from England. We have Englanders here at Bethel Church. We have South Africans here at Bethel Church. We have Jamaicans that attend Bethel Church. We have Romanians that attend Bethel Church. We have Swiss right here. Thank you for the great cheese. We appreciate it. Yes, we have Canadians. Am I missing anybody? Georgia? That is... No, I'm sorry. What other...
German.
All right. We've got all kinds of traditions represented. We are like the United Nations of the Rogue Valley here at Bethel Church. So we've got all kinds of cultural traditions that go with the Christmas season. In fact, actually, celebrating Christmas on December 25th is a tradition because the reality is we don't know what day Jesus was born on. And so scholars have done their best, but we don't know exactly what day it was. And over the years, I've known people that have said, well, we don't celebrate Christmas because we don't know what day Jesus was born on. Years ago, there was a lady that attended Bethel Church, one of our seniors. She's gone on to be with the Lord. Her name is Shirley Livingston. And Shirley was such a delightful woman. And one of the things that Shirley and I enjoyed sharing together is we have the same birthday, February 22nd. So we kind of made a deal about that every year, making sure that we said happy birthday to each other. But after a few years of doing that, Shirley confided to me. She said, "Pastor Tim, I've got to tell you, my birthday is not really on February 22nd. And I said, "Shirley, what are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, the fact is, I don't know when my birthday is." She said, "I was born way out in the country and a long ways away from a hospital. And by the time my family, you know, got into the city and brought me to visit the doctor for the first time, quite some time had gone by. And they put on my birth certificate, they put the day that they brought me to the doctor." And so she goes, she said, "I really don't know. I was born sometime before February 22nd. All right. Now, do you think I said to Shirley, "Shirley, your birthday is a fraud. How dare you celebrate your birthday on the same day as mine? You don't even know when you were born." You think that's what I said? Absolutely not. Why? Because when we celebrate a birthday, we're not celebrating a date, we're celebrating a person. Right? We're celebrating a person. And so on December 25th, it's not a celebration of a date. It's a celebration of the person of Jesus Christ. And that's a lot to celebrate. Amen? And so don't let the fact that you don't know exactly what day it is, you know, wreck your Christmas. It's as good a day as any to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. So we have all these traditions, and part of traditions is all of these different Christmas colors. Colors. Very important part of Christmas. When I was a kid, we had our regular Christmas tree. But then my dad went and bought a second Christmas tree for us, and it was completely made out of tinsel. I mean, the whole thing is silver. But it had a spotlight that you would put on it. And the spotlight had different colors that rotated. Right? And it changed the color of the tree, and all of us kids would go, "That is so cool." Now, I got a little older, and I thought, man, that is the corniest thing ever. But now, honestly, I am back to, I think that is so cool, and I want one. Yeah. So colors, all these different colors. And so last week, Pastor Roger talked about the color of green and how green is symbolic of new life. And so in the Christmas season, they would bring in Christmas boughs, Christmas trees, and it would be a reminder that spring is coming, that new life is coming, in the same way that Jesus Christ brings new life to us. This morning, we're talking about the color red, and red is a symbol, it's a picture of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And all of the gifts that come to us in life, because Jesus came and because he died for us at Calvary. So red, the salvation that we have through the blood of Jesus. Jesus came into the world to do many things. One of the things that Jesus came to do is he came to reveal the heart of God. He came to reveal the heart of God. So between the writing of the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the appearance of John the Baptist, there's 400-year period. And in that 400-year period, there was not one prophet. There was no word from God to humanity for 400 years. And then John the Baptist shows up, and he comes to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus comes as the perfect representation of God, to reveal God's heart to us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being." So if you want to know God, you look at Jesus. And everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, it's a revelation of the heart of God. So for example, when Jesus healed the leper, Jesus actually physically, and this was unheard of in that day, he actually physically touched the leper that he was healing. Touched him. People didn't do that. People didn't do that. And Jesus touched the leper. And when Jesus put his hands on that leprous man, he was revealing the heart of God for that man. Conversely, when Jesus confronted the religious Pharisees of the day, Jesus was also revealing the heart of God, right? So Jesus came to represent, to be a revelation of the heart of God. Another thing that Jesus came to do is he came to usher in the kingdom of God. So for all those centuries, the world laid under the dominion of Satan. And Jesus came, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he came to establish once again the kingdom of God. Another thing Jesus came to do is he came to warn the world of coming judgment. So one of the reasons Jesus came the first time was to tell people that he was going to come back a second time. But when he comes back a second time, it's going to be nothing like what it looked the first time. Jesus is not going to come back as a baby again. He's going to come back as a conquering king when he comes back again. So Jesus came to give people full warning in advance that judgment day is coming and that we should be prepared for that. But there's a fourth thing that Jesus came to do, and this is the thing that we're going to spend our remaining time on this morning. This fourth thing is the thing that ties all those other things together and makes them even possible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 is our scripture today that has to do with this fourth thing. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, everybody say redeemed, from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. So Jesus came for a lot of reasons, but primarily Jesus came to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world through his death on the cross. Think about that. Before Jesus was born, he knew where his life was going to wind up. He knew when he would die and how he would die and why he would die. And Jesus came anyway. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. The reason for the cross is this, because many people would say, well, how could God allow his son to do that? The reason for the cross is because God is a loving and gracious God. But God is also a holy, just, and righteous God. For all his love for us, God cannot turn a blind eye to sin. Sin must be paid for. There is a price, and that price is death. Because sin leads to death, the only appropriate payment for sin is death. So in God's grace and love for us, rather than requiring our death, he sent his son, the one he loved most, his only son, to die the death that we deserve, to take our place. So the cross becomes a meeting place. The cross is the place where God's justice and God's mercy meet. It's also the place where a holy God and sinners like me can be reconciled. The cross is the place where we are wholeheartedly embraced by God the same way the prodigal son was embraced by the father when he came back home. It all takes place because of the cross. You know, we talk about the blood of Jesus. We sing songs about the blood of Jesus. We read scriptures about the blood of Jesus. But what does the blood of Jesus really mean? What does that mean when we talk about the blood of Jesus? Let me give you a few just powerful things, and these are all gifts that come to our lives because of the blood that Jesus shed. First of all, it means the complete forgiveness of our sins. I mean complete. There's not one that's been left out. All of your sins, past, present, and future, have all been paid for by the blood that Jesus shed. Hallelujah. The complete forgiveness of our sin. And the thing this morning I want you to know about God's loving forgiveness is that it is available to everyone. Everyone. There's not a person here, not a person in this room, that isn't loved by God. There's not a person here that Jesus did not die for. Amen? It took the same blood of Jesus to forgive a pastor as it does to forgive a prostitute. It's the blood of Jesus. And you might feel like, well, I've been so far from God. I've lived so selfishly. I've committed so many sins. And I want you to know today, God still loves you. Jesus still died for you. Forgiveness is still available to you, no matter what. Past, present, and future. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. But the forgiveness of sins is just the beginning. Let me tell you about a couple of other gifts that we have because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, we also have unhindered access to the presence of God. Now think about that. Think about that for a minute. We have access to the presence of God. There's a place on our earth that prior to May 29th, 1953, no person had ever stepped. It was the 29,000 plus foot summit of Mount Everest. But then on May 29th, 1953, at 11:30 in the morning, after years of planning and 7 weeks of climbing, a New Zealander by the name of Edmund Hillary and a Nepalese by the name of Tenzing Norgay stood where no person had stood before at the summit of Mount Everest. Now think about the incredible effort that that took. And think about that place in history. For centuries, nobody had been on the top of Mount Everest. And then just really, relatively speaking, a short time ago, someone was there for the very first time. But I want you to think about this. That's an amazing thing, but I want you to think about this. God created Mount Everest. I mean, come on. I mean, these guys get the credit for, you know, hiking up it and, you know, well-deserved, but come on, God made it. God spoke it into existence. And so how then do we even go higher than Mount Everest? How do we get to the presence of God? And that's a question even King David asked of himself in the 24th Psalm. He said, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" Good questions. And here's the answer. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Yeah, in other words, none of us. Right? I mean, you think climbing Mount Everest is hard? And I got to admit, I've scratched that off my bucket list. I'm not going to make it. Ever since the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden, mankind has been trying to find the presence of God, seeking to have a relationship with God. And people try good works. They try being good people, being religious people. And none of those things get you there. You can try all of your life on your own to get there, and you can't get there. You can't. Because there's this barrier called sin that keeps us from the presence of God. So God, knowing this, because we can't get to him, guess what? He came down to us. Jesus was born into this mess to rescue us. And he shed his blood to save us. And now, because of the blood of Jesus, we have access to the presence of God 24/7. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place." Through the blood of Jesus, we have access to God. Next, because of the blood of Jesus, we have authority in spiritual warfare. Because of the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus frees us from the stain of sin, it also gives us power that frees us from the curse of sin. No more sin, no more curse, right? You see, Satan doesn't mind if you know that you're forgiven, as long as you think it doesn't make any difference. What he doesn't want you to know is that because you are forgiven, you now have spiritual authority in your life, and he no longer has dominion over you. He has been defeated by the cross and defeated by the resurrection, and now that same power and authority, because of the blood of Jesus, rests on your life. The Bible says to flee from the, to stand against the devil and he will flee from you, right? So in the name of Jesus and according to the blood of Jesus, we resist the devil and he must flee. We are no longer victims, church. We're conquerors. We're victors. Amen? Because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything the devil once held over your head has been taken care of by Christ. Yeah. Power in spiritual warfare. Number four, because of the blood of Jesus, we have healing. Healing from sickness and disease. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Yeah. By his wounds, through the blood of Jesus, there's healing. There's certainly spiritual healing. There's also emotional healing. There's mental healing, and mental illness is a very real thing, and so many people struggle with that. I want you to know today, there's hope because of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's hope. There's healing through Jesus. There's also physical healing. Through the blood of Jesus, God heals from cancer and sickness and disease. And I know these are things we struggle with this in life. I thank God and I look forward to the day where the Bible says there's going to be no more death, no more dying, no more pain, and no more sickness. It's all going to be taken care of. Amen? But I want you to know that we can believe God for these things now. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven. We can believe God for healing now because of the blood of Jesus. And in a few moments, we're going to share communion together. And in that communion time, we're going to take time to pray for those of you that need healing today, whether it's mental or emotional or physical, whatever it might be. We're going to pray for the healing power of God to come into your life. And we're going to do that not based on the righteousness that we have, but based on the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And then finally, because of the blood of Jesus, we have eternal life. Eternal life. You see, folks, this thing's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And because of the blood of Jesus, we have an eternity that we don't have to fear. We can actually look forward to. God gave the Apostle John this glimpse into the future and into the presence of God. And John wrote these things down in a book of the Bible called the Book of Revelation. And here's one of the things that John saw in Revelation chapter 5. And these are people that are gathered around the throne of Jesus. And they say, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." So see, the praises of Jesus have to do with the blood that he shed. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." So I don't care how far into the future you want to project, 10 billion years, 100 billion years, Jesus is never going to have to die on the cross again. It's done. And nothing's ever going to happen. Nothing's going to come up in the future that's going to require God to come up with another plan. It is finished. It's all done. It's taken care of. Amen? Yeah. And so in heaven, we will worship Jesus forever and ever because he shed his blood for us. We're going to know that. We're going to know that the only reason we get to be there is because of Jesus. Yeah. It goes on to say, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels." How many, you ask? "Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's a lot of angels. All right? "They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, everybody say loud. A loud voice. I know there's times in church where it should be quiet. But there's times in church it should get loud. Should get loud, right? You say, I don't like it loud. Well, then you're not going to like heaven. Because it says right there that it's going to get loud. Sometimes it's going to get loud. Okay? Yeah. And what are they saying? In a loud voice, they're saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. It's all going back to the cross. To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and glory and honor and power forever and ever. So this reference to the Lamb is the reference to Jesus being the perfect Lamb of God who came and laid down his life for our sins. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful today for the blood of Jesus, for everything that we have, everything that we're going to have, because he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me up here, and let's just take a moment right now, and let's just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your word. We have so much to be thankful for. Come on, just right now, thank him personally. Thank him personally. Knowing that you're lost without him. Knowing that there's no hope without Jesus. He's our only hope. He is our life. Hallelujah, God. We thank you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment. Perhaps you're here this morning and you know that you're in need of God's forgiveness. You're carrying around the weight of sin right now. You're carrying around that guilt and shame. And I want you to know you can try a lot of things to get rid of that guilt, to get rid of that shame, to get rid of that sin. And I'm just here to say nothing works except the blood of Jesus. If there was any other way for our sins to be forgiven, God would have chosen that option. He wouldn't have sent his son, who he loves so much, into this world to die that kind of death. If there was any other way that we could save ourselves, Jesus came because we can't save ourselves. And so if you're here this morning, I want to invite you, I want to plead with you, stop trying to save yourself. The only way is through the blood of Jesus. So if you're here today and you'd like to receive God's gift of salvation, God's gift of the forgiveness of our sins, putting our faith in the blood of Jesus, putting our faith in the cross that he died on, if that's you this morning and you want to pray to receive Christ in your life, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated this morning. I want you to let me know that you want to be included in this prayer by raising your hand. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to the number three, if you'd like to be included in this prayer, you're just saying, Tim, today I need God's forgiveness. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, when I say three, please just raise your hand up, and then I'll lead those of us who have raised their hands in a prayer. So if that's you, you raise your hand when I get to three. One, two, three. Today you need Christ in your life. God bless you. Awesome. Yes, right over here. God bless you. Right back here, several of you raising your hand this morning. Hallelujah. It's the greatest, greatest gift of all. There's nothing that compares to it. I'll guarantee you there's going to be nothing under your Christmas tree this year that compares to what Jesus is doing in your life right now. Hallelujah. Any others? Any others? Hey, if God is working on your heart this morning, don't put this off. Don't put this off. It's the biggest, best decision you'll ever make. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Yeah. God bless you. I'm so glad I waited. Yeah. Right back there in the back. God's at work. God's at work. Hallelujah. All right. There's five or six of you that have raised your hand this morning. Perhaps there's others that are going to pray along with me that didn't raise their hand. I'm going to invite everyone to pray this prayer with those that have raised their hand. And I'm going to invite you to just pray after me. I'm going to pray one sentence at a time. And I want you to know, as you're praying this morning, God's hearing your prayer and He sees your heart more than anybody else. He loves you so much. This is your appointed time. You're here for this reason today. God's getting a hold of your life because He loves you. Pray along with me. Father in heaven, I need you in my life. I need to know you. I need forgiveness. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. So Jesus, today, I open the door of my heart. I invite you to come into my life and make me a new person. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.